I went to LA for a time, check it out. And I was like, it's the same thing. Like, everybody's talking about the traffic. That's what I'm saying. Like, the LA traffic. But New York has traffic, too. You wait in line for the subway forever. There's delays. The only problem is, or the only difference is, that when you're in L.A. and you stop at a stop sign, a mariachi band doesn't come into your car.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday night.
Well, welcome to Tannins and Tunes.
Hey guys, welcome.
I am Jessica Humphrey, and I am joined by
Jimmy Robertson.
Guys, he's back.
Hi guys, I'm back.
Exciting.
Hi moms.
And hi to all the moms out there.
Hi all moms.
And today we are joined by some very special guests from Beautiful the Musical. Why don't you all introduce yourselves?
I'm Melvin Tunstall,
the third.
Oh, the third.
Oh, yes.
Evan James Todd Jr., but I just go by Evan Todd.
Guys, this is so exciting. They, like I said, are here from Beautiful the Musical, where Evan, you are playing Jerry.
I'm playing the husband writing partner.
So exciting. And then Melvin, you're in the ensemble, right?
I'm in the ensemble. I'm actually the swing in the show.
The swing, which
so
is...
I cover four different roles.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
It is absolutely insane. I don't know why I think I can do it, but...
But you can.
For some reason, they haven't figured out that I can't, so I just keep showing up to work.
It's as if... it's as if a plumber... also, like, is on call to be a mortician and a doctor and a lawyer and a teacher, like, all at the same time. You know, you have to have this, like, specific skill set, and you can be called into it at any time.
I mean, that's a lot, you know, a doctor. But, you know, I'll take it. It's four different roles, four sets of harmonies, four sets of choreography.
I don't know.
Four sets of props.
It's crazy.
Seriously, this is year four, and it's taken 4 years to really feel like, okay, I don't necessarily have to go through my notes tonight, but I still do.
Because.
Especially now, there's been a lot of changes, a lot of new cast members, and so you have to change instead of doing one person's track. It used to be, tonight you're Doug, but tonight you're Sydney, but tonight being Sydney doesn't mean anything. I'm like, I don't know what that means. You know, so it's relearning, you know, which tracks go with the new person's name, since we don't actually have character names, like Jerry Goffin.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. And so, Melvin, have you been in it since the beginning?
I have.
That's so
very
exciting.
Very first day, day one.
Wow.
Rehearsals. Everyone's sitting there waiting for Jesse to walk in. Because the big secret was, who was going to be Carol? Who was going to be Carol? And so, yeah, the big reveal. Let's see that.
Did you not even know until day one?
Well, I knew. But that's just
Melvin's
because.
Special.
Well,
Melvin
is special. Know people who talk. And so the word had gotten to me because I was actually working, I handed out flyers at TKTS for the different shows. And so, I found out while working out there one day, somebody actually overheard me saying that I was about to go into Beautiful, and then a whole conversation started. And so, yeah.
That's amazing. And then, Evan, how long have you been doing the show?
Just want to say I got a text just now that my roommate just got called back for Carol.
Oh, that's awesome.
She just texted me.
How serendipitous.
No way. Yay. All right. She said, may I make you breakfast and run the scene with you? Yeah, sure, that sounds good. What did you ask me? I was distracted by my roommate's good news.
That's okay, as you should be. How long have you been doing the show?
I started March 7th was my first show.
Awesome.
So not very long.
Cool, and you're having fun, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. I mean, this is my Broadway debut. It's a really great part. It's a lot of
that's
fun.
That's nice, Evan. My Broadway debut's the star.
I never expected to make my debut as the lead in a musical. The lead in a musical. So this was a really nice surprise.
Cool.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, originally I'm from Kissimmee, Florida.
Okay.
And then I finished high school at the North Carolina School for the Arts for my senior year.
Yeah.
Are you in a fighting pickle?
Yes.
Yeah, are you?
Well, I didn't go there for college, but I did 2 summers there as a ballet dancer.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, I went there my senior year of high school for the one-year drama program, which was great because I thought I was going to an academic school. So they allowed me to take classes at the college.
Cool.
The problem, I had to leave my high school because it was a smaller performing arts school that didn't have academic classes beyond, like, what you would typically take in high school.
Right, right.
Like AP and all of that they didn't have. So it was a great segue into college, and I thought I was going to end up at, like, a really strong liberal arts school.
Right.
And auditioned for a bunch of different places, and everyone was auditioning for Juilliard, so I was like, I should audition for Juilliard. If I prepare for that audition, I'll be covered because they asked for like a million different things. And I got in. So I moved to New York and went there for 4 years.
Awesome.
And yeah, moved back and forth between L.A. and New York. And now I'm back in New York. And every time I try to go to L.A., I luckily get something back here.
That's great.
Oh, wow.
That's so much fun. I too, aspire to be bicoastal, so I get it.
It's great.
It's a dream.
It's funny. When I was trying to be bicoastal, I was like, I can be bicoastal, agents. Like, come on.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you kind of have to do one. And then when I finally tried to pick one. Yeah, now I'm like truly bicoastal. when we started the show, I was really lucky and I had booked a recurring on a TV show in LA. I had never really done TV in LA. Found out on this flight over here that it was going to be recurring. Auditioned for this and was going back and forth in rehearsals. I was like, they let me miss the Sunday night show. I'd fly out, do my 5 a.m. costume fitting, shoot Monday, take the red eyes, sleep in the dressing room, do the Tuesday night show. And it was great.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's so exciting.
Wow.
Though.
I had no idea.
Hey, man, I've been finished
when you, by the time you got to us, I didn't, but that makes sense.
No. I thought you were just leaving to, like, go to the doctor.
What'd you say?
He's like, I just thought you were just leaving.
Yes.
Well, we were like, I don't want to do it. First week, he's already out of the show. Taking a night off, are you, Evan?
I know what it's like to be unemployed, so I am not complaining about the schedule.
No, it's brilliant. That is kind of the dream, though, you know, to be like, well, you guys got to get on a flight, got to fly to L.A., you know, film something, I'll be back for Tuesday show. Like, that's, you know. Like,
not a bad
back
life.
Back to dream.
Not complaining.
Absolutely.
So, Melvin, tell us a little bit about your background.
I grew up in North Carolina.
I love this.
I didn't go to the School of the Arts because I was stuck in musical theater land, and, you know, they had an amazing voice program and an amazing drama program, and my acting is horrible unless I start singing. So I'm like, no one wants to just hear me speak. So I didn't get to do the School of the Arts, but I did end up going to Cincinnati Conservatory.
Great.
And then did some post-grad work at Yale.
Nice.
And, you know, it's been great. It's been
post-grad work at Yale. Well done.
Fancy.
Says the Juilliard grad.
Just a skosh.
You know, but
I went to Yale for a summer. That is not the same as getting to Yale. I have my Yale rejection letter by the toilet in my dressing room,
which is kind of really awesome.
I visited Yale once. It was really nice.
It
did. So good.
I discovered Mexican food there.
I
know, isn't that
weird?
They
have
great Mexican. They do.
They do, actually.
I don't know why. They have great Mexican.
Okay, there you go.
I still can't get with the seafood pizza, but that's another story.
Ooh.
So, yeah, you know, I actually was here when the towers fell.
Wow.
And I went back to North Carolina because the honeymoon was over with New York for a minute.
Right.
And we, you know, I was in my 20s, and no one thought about saving anything. We were just young and in New York and auditioning. And so, you know, the towers fell, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I have no, like, safety net. So I got an opportunity to go back to North Carolina and direct, and I stayed there for 7 years. And
where in North Carolina?
Teaching. This was in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. Do you know Blowing Rock?
I do.
So gorgeous, right?
My grandparents live in Waynesville.
Oh, of course. I'm a huge fan of Blowing Rock.
Yeah.
Like it kind of changed my life, like to get a chance to stretch those other muscles.
This place is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the most beautiful mountainous place and just, like, trees everywhere. And
listeners, close your eyes right now.
Just
close
imagine
your eyes right now and just
forest
imagine.
Floor. We've talked
forest
about that a couple
floor.
Times.
Wow.
It's actually where all the Floridians come for their summer.
Like, no, I believe it.
Yeah. That's how the theater was able to, like, survive,
right,
because,
right,
like, Florida would show up and it would be amazing for, you know, 4 months. And
yeah, we get out when those tourists come during the summer. We're like, this is a terrible time to be here. You can rent my house. We're going to go away.
So this is just a big mix of people going to other places.
Yes. My parents were going to move to North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. I remember we took this big trip where it's like, we're going to move to North Carolina.
It's a gorgeous state, man.
It really is.
Everyone says it looks a lot like Hollywood before, you know, Hollywood became Hollywood. But it was just, you know, green and gorgeous. And there's so much film work that happens in North Carolina. I'm like, Hollywood East. I'll take it.
Out there in Wilmington.
Hollywood East.
Right?
That's right. Now Atlanta, though.
No, not Atlanta yet. Cool. Well, talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to go grab the wine that's been chilling so that we could actually have cold wine.
Oh,
and it's
great.
Not.
Good choice.
Right?
You guys have done this before, haven't you?
Maybe a couple of times.
Thought it might be fun. You know, let's start recording our wine-induced conversation. That could be fun.
Hey, listeners, remember Tannins and Tonys, in which we did a drinking game with the Tonys and then did a drunken recap?
I like that. I want to watch that.
That was fun.
Listen to that.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was episode 5. Yeah.
How fancy are we being? Do I need to, like, cleanse my palate because I've been drinking coffee? No, it'll just enhance the nodes.
It'll enhance the nodes in your...
I'm a wine connoisseur, if you can tell.
I like to imagine that you would, like, have vocal notes.
Uh-huh. And I'm just trying to enhance them with the wine.
Yeah.
All the acid.
Were you guys surprised by the Tonys?
I guess.
No, you weren't. There's no way in that pause that could have been a yes.
There were a few surprises.
I wasn't really surprised. Who were you surprised by?
I was surprised by Chris Ashley, the Come From Away direction. I really thought Rachel was going to take it for Great Comet.
But Come From Away won.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I was happy about because that was my favorite show of the season.
Yeah, I thought Come From Away was going to win it all, like, Best Musical.
I saw it the Wednesday after the Tonys, totally expecting it to, for me, like, rival all the shows that I had seen, and, mm-hmm. like, Dear Evan Hansen was my favorite for lots of reasons, but I heard Come From Away, I'll watch that, and it's different enough, but you're like, it's better, or whatever. I solidly liked it, but I didn't love it, and I'm still trying to figure out why.
See, and I get that. I think that's how I felt after Hansen. It's like, I really, really liked it. But I didn't know if I loved it. But I didn't see the Broadway transfer. I mean, except for, you know, You Love Lynn Platt. Like, that's just,
right.
Yeah, that's just not a, that's not real. I'm still not convinced he's a real human.
No, not real. But the other thing is
the whole Come From Away, I think being here in New York mm-hmm. at the time, we were so New York focused.
Oh,
like,
sure.
We didn't think about, you know, how the rest of the world was being affected. And
it was just
like, oh my gosh, this was going down. Because I remember New York did change. Like, there was a moment, you know, once the subway started working, that everyone just would look at each other and you realize that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. We all could, you know, get blown up. So maybe we should be kind to each other. I miss that part of New York.
To quote High School Musical, we're all in this together.
We really are.
You know.
Very apropos.
Wow.
Can I ask a question before we go into the wine? So we're talking about... The Tonys, we're talking about new musicals.
Right.
I'm so interested in a musical that's been around. So Beautiful, as you said, is in its fourth year. Now. How is it for you, Melvin, to be in something from this, almost the very beginning? And then, Evan, how is it for you to sort of come into something that sort of has a history already?
I love it. Because I'm the swing, I'm not technically on year four. I'm probably just getting through year one because I'm not in the show every night. Right. So,
if we're talking performance wise,
like, for me, I love it. Like, I think this is general for everyone. We still sing the music after 4 years backstage. Like, we still harmonize with mm-hmm. Evan when he sings Taking Care of My Baby. I'm like, if people had any idea the backstage show that happens, you know, no one's ever going to say, oh my gosh, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Don't want to hear that again. Like, that's, to me, is the greatest gift of being in this particular show, mm-hmm. is the score is so great and the songs are great. Mm-hmm. After 4 years, it's still okay to come to work and listen to the song. So, and also, I'm a writer as well, so watching the creation and, you know, seeing how the show evolved and changed and moments that I was telling someone last night that You've Got a Friend wasn't in the out-of-town tryout in San Francisco after the very first preview. And now when you see our show, it's like you can't even imagine that moment not being there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the benefits of being able to watch, you know, it be created and then to love it after this, you know, this long. And then we get new people come in, like Evan and our current Carol, Abby Mueller. Like, it just breathes something fresh into the show and yeah, I mean, I will, you know, I'm not just saying it because he's sitting beside me, but I'm like, Evan's Jerry, it's, I actually sat out in the audience and watched it, and it was just like, man, our show is in really, really good shape right now. People should see this. They should see this performance, even if you've already seen it.
Right.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, yeah. You're
welcome.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, it was really interesting, like, going into a show, because you spend your whole life practicing a similar routine, right? Like even in high school or middle school or whenever it is at community theater, you like have your rehearsal, you have your tech, you go into maybe not previews, but professionally, you then go into previews and then you do the show. So by the time the show comes around and people are like going to review it, you can stand behind what you've done, right?
Yeah.
You've had 5 weeks with the director. If you can't feel like you've made choices and stand behind it, it's kind of your fault. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, so I was used to that. And I had never even really thought through what it would be to be put into a show. I don't know why I should have like thought about it. But so knowing like, oh, you've got a week and a, luckily I got a week and a half before I had to be here. Cause I was in LA.
Yeah.
They sent me the material. I looked at it. It was my first audition when I was coming back to New York. I was like, you know what? I've got a week and a half. I'm going to pay multiple people to work with them on the music because that's definitely my like weakest part of the for me. I was just trying to learn the material in a week and a half. Showed up, didn't make it to the first audition because I was still in LA. So I was at the callback and wanted to make a good impression. Did the one audition. Suddenly got this part. Then started rehearsals right away, had to memorize everything. I was just trying to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we were finally in it,
yeah.
I was just maybe trying to layer in my own my own thing. Moments that didn't feel like really that genuine or honest. I was trying to do some acting.
How long did you have, I'm sorry,
technically 2 weeks of rehearsal. I found out about a week before rehearsal started, and I had 2 weeks of rehearsal, and I would really say it was more like 10 or 15 hours of rehearsal total.
Okay, great. Okay.
2 hours of music, period, and that was it. So it was crazy. But what I wasn't expecting was coming to something that was, this was the upside of it, coming to something that had been running for so long, where everyone was really confident and secure in the show, and they were just putting me in, and there was actually very little pressure from anybody except for myself. Right. It's like everyone was there to be really supportive because they've been doing it for years. So it's probably the most... I was happy to make my Broadway debut in a supportive environment like that, and not a new show where you're not sure how it's going to be received and what notes you're going to get afterwards. And I really could just enjoy the fact that it was happening.
It was chill. I remember that. Like, it was just kind of like Evan's here. Yeah, that Evan. He's always been here.
I was freaking out the first show. I was like, I can't do this.
He's always been here.
Yeah, I was like, if this is how nervous I'm going to be every show, I don't think I can do this. And luckily, the nerves were like cut in half by the second show.
Well, the machine's going. Like, you know, it really is just kind of. Just fit into it, get in there, you know, get in there. And then as time goes on, you just kind of adjust the show to your show.
Yeah.
But also, like, having Abby come in at the same time
was great
because it was that brand new energy and you were learning from her, even though she had been doing the tour. It was her, you know, her first time coming into Broadway as well.
She is so good. She's been doing it for a year. So I remember being on stage with her and just thinking, like, if I blinked differently, she responded differently. She was so ready to play.
Wow.
And for the first probably 3 weeks, I just had to apologize to her and be like, I want to play. I am so ready. But right now I feel like I'm on a tightrope. So if I'm not... like actually listening to you and responding because I'm just thinking, all right, now I have to exit and put on this shirt and change it and run to that and do that. Like, I can't wait to be able to like, play because she's so open and now we are and it's great.
That sounds so
wonderful.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay, let's drink some wine.
Let's drink some wine.
Please, yes.
Okay, so today it's super hot out, you guys. So we have a really cold, crisp Riesling. Mm. From the Finger Lakes, in honor of Carole King being from New York, I chose a local New York wine.
Hey,
I know, know, thinking through them some things. through some things. Okay, so let's take a smell. Wow. Lots of fruit forwardness on it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Riesling with me, I always smell petrol on Riesling. And, like, that's a sign of, A, a good Riesling, but, B, it's also, like, a weird thing about it.
Wait. By petrol, do you mean, like,
from England?
Like,
the English gas.
Yes. English gas. Yes.
Very specific.
It's a little hottier than normal gas. A little above.
Yeah. Yes. Very true. But is anyone else smelling that? Is that just me?
Well, I am now. That's what's funny, because I never would have thought that. But
I'm just
okay.
Like, oh, it just smells like Riesling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that seriously, like, somebody asked me earlier today, like, what was the moment where you knew that you really wanted to study wine? And for me, it was that moment of somebody being like, okay, do you smell gas or gasoline in this wine? And me smelling it and being like, yeah, I do.
When you smell gas?
I know.
But I love you, like, but that's a good thing. That's what you want. Right. You want
no. No, get out.
Yeah, leave the room. Leave on the fire. Room. Stop huffing.
All right? It's not from the wine, okay? It's not.
I've lost many good people.
That's why sommeliers are so few and far between.
Right. They never know when they have a gas.
They never know when they have a gas.
Oh, really?
Does this wine make you feel faint? And, like, fuzzy in the head?
Oh, really?
It's
I've never spent so much time smelling a wine, but I'm really, really enjoying
Isn't it. Isn't
it
cool?
It's kind of nice.
Okay, some other notes in there are, like, peach. There's some, mm-hmm. like, lemon-lime in there. Definitely, like,
I smell peach, for sure.
Yeah, getting a ton of stone fruit
on it. I get the citrus.
Stone yeah.
fruit. What's that?
Like, stone fruit meaning, like, peaches or nectarines or plums.
You know, like, fruits that you throw at people. You know?
Stone fruits. Heavy stone fruits.
You know, like, when they used to do that at the theater? Hey, audience, come to see Beautiful. If you don't like what Evan's doing, if he's not focusing, throw a stone fruit at him.
Stone fruit.
He's not acting with Abby right now.
No, he's not listening. I prefer a stone fruit to a chip bag, like, rustling in the audience. That's my least favorite.
I am so sorry, because...
Is that you?
That is me.
That you?
Well, it's me who sells them.
Oh, yeah, why do they sell them in the theater? Right.
I don't know.
Why not like a, what would be a not, what, a fruit? How about a stone fruit?
A stone fruit. No, like a peach.
Yeah, or something that's...
Well, then you run the risk of it being hurled at your face. So.
Oh, I guess.
Then, yeah.
How about we eat before the theater?
Yeah, right?
Or have a good drink like a normal person.
Like a good Riesling.
There you
okay,
go.
Let's taste. Let's do the fun part. Yes.
Sour, ooh. Tart.
Yeah.
Tart, but also has, like, a sweetness to it.
Yeah. It's not as dry as I thought it was going to be.
Well, okay, so I had to bring up some like, specs on this one, because I didn't want to pronounce things incorrectly.
Ooh, get those specs.
Right? So let me pull this up. So, listeners, this is the Herman J. Weimer Riesling, the 2016 quote-unquote dry Riesling from up in the Finger Lakes.
Dry just means it makes your mouth dry?
Dry just means that it's not extra sweet.
Oh, I do. I always say dry because I like dry, but I didn't realize it was the sweetness.
Yeah, yeah. Dry refers to the sweetness level. If you want something that is, like, super what you're talking about dry, you want something that has a lower acidity.
Like the Pinot Grigio we serve at the bar at Beautiful. Come on down. Take it into your seat.
Don't buy the chips.
Don't buy the chips.
Oh, my gosh. So this particular wine has a, I'm going to pronounce this so incorrectly, a spoutless level of ripeness. And so I had to go on because it had been a long time since I had done the, like, sweetness levels of German wines. See, look at all that
very
stuff.
Excited about
it's
this.
Crazy.
You guys can't see it, but there's a very cool picture.
It's a really cool, like, grape-looking thing. So, spoutless means late harvest, and it means that the concentration of juice in the grape is going to be sweeter because it's had more time to ripen.
Ooh.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I feel this is really sweet for me.
But,
like, but in the good way.
Yeah, but it's not like a sweet wine either. And it's not like... I feel like sometimes I've had the, like, relaxed Riesling, And that is...
You're like a Riesling with sunglasses on, just, you know...
By the pool.
By the pool. Got a summer book.
It's like right next to a wine cooler.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shout out for my mom. Definitely.
A little sip of her wine cooler.
Oh, this is James.
Oh, I love it.
Another mom.
Another mom.
My mom would love the... she wouldn't be able to... smell it as long. She would just be drinking it. She would love this.
My mom gets really mad at me because I don't tell her the wines that we're going to be drinking ahead of time. And so she's like, I can't drink along with you if you don't tell me what you're drinking.
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
Have you started changing that?
I have, yeah. I've at least told her.
on Twitter or Instagram.
Yep. Yeah. You know. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or our website. So this wine is like on the sweeter side, which is like for this, I think it's great. And I think that it pairs with the show so well because the show itself, I think, is a sweet show, but also has some depth of flavor in it.
Yes.
Agreed.
Oh, absolutely. We're pairing it with Beautiful.
Yeah.
Welcome to we're here.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes.
This tastes like Carole King. I get you every night. Yeah, you can't make that joke. Whatever it was, I can see it in your face.
But doesn't it?
We all really just like stifle. Like, no.
This is for the moms. This one's for the moms.
Abby Mueller, you're the best.
Oh, she is.
But doesn't this remind you of Carole King? This wine.
It's blonde.
It is blonde.
Nice.
And there's no other comparison.
Tart.
Definitely tart, mm-hmm. And it has, there's some herbaciousness to it.
Oh,
okay.
Some sass?
A little bit of sass.
Yeah.
But there's also the sweetness to it.
Right.
You know.
And the cool thing about this company in general is that it has a long history up in the Finger Lakes of creating really, really great wines. Just like Carole King creates, you know, different styles of her music. This company creates different styles of wine, so they're all great and all come from the same background, I guess you would say, if we were trying to compare the two.
Can we tweet Carole King and be like, what kind of wine do you drink? Or like, I wonder what her drink of choice is. What? Scotch.
Got it.
Scotch. Cabbage?
Cabbage. Cabbage. Cabbage.
Cabbage juice.
I don't know. I wonder. I feel like Carole would be like, you know, just, you know, bring me... a spring water, and take care of the grandchildren.
I've never met her, but I was imagining like scotch with a cigar. Right.
I imagine her role lightly. From Gilmore Girls.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Carole, like she, you know, she's very granola. Like she's very like Earth Mother. And
I don't know anything.
No, it's okay. I'm surprised she hasn't come. Yeah, she'll sneak in. It's been a while. It's about time for a Carole King sighting. But she's really earthy, you know, so yeah. I like, you know, that part of it. You know.
Well, and this is actually sustainably farmed. This wine is sustainably farmed.
She would love that.
She would love that. Always that. And some other, like, specs on it, just for all those wine nerds out there. It is whole cluster pressed, so they take the whole cluster of the grapes and they press the juice from that. They don't, like, de-stem it or anything. They just take it and push it through, and that's where you get the juice from. And then it's cold fermented. I wish I was being cold fermented right now. Oh my God. Dying. for more than 3 months. So they take it and they put it in a stainless steel tank for 3 months.
Now I'm just imagining
months.
You in a stainless steel tank.
I need it like in my ice bath. and then they don't filter this wine. So it's unfiltered, unrefined. Again, like going back to those organic techniques, Earth Mother, I think she'd love it.
Yeah, I feel like she's unfiltered,
unrefined.
Unfiltered, right?
More me.
Listeners, I don't know. He says this, but Melvin is dressed in a tuxedo right now.
Yeah,
very fancy. He's got a cravat.
Well, I had to look good for, you know, for the podcast.
He didn't
realize.
Not,
is that not how this works?
I have to look good for the audio podcast. Guys, where's my trailer for makeup?
Full out, always. You never know.
So,
what happens when you finish the wine before everybody else?
You get more.
Yay, I win!
Always.
This is my first time day drinking. In a long time.
Well played, Evan. Like,
well, we don't get brunch. Brunch is the thing I miss the most when doing a show.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You don't do brunch?
When do you do brunch?
Equity One. You get an Equity One.
Oh, that's true, but one, I can't just have one at
Brunch.
Well,
this is very
I
true.
Want, like,
well,
yeah,
didn't it used to be Equity, too? What happened?
Isn't that a myth? I mean, I have a full-on bar in my dressing room. So really, when I was sick, I definitely was drinking hot toddies during the show, and I was like, you guys, I'm so sorry, but I'm just really sick. And inside, I'm like, I wish I could be sick.
Well, you have, like, a good 20-minute break, right?
At the end, yeah. My show's done when she breaks up with me.
Yeah,
oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler
sorry,
alert
for
history.
History.
yeah, I'm like, oh, my show's done. I just have to give her a lame book and an apology.
You have the best track, you know. You give book and apology, and she's like, we're
okay.
Cool.
Well, it also helps, you know, to have a 20-minute break after a full-out breakdown on stage in front of
yeah.
a thousand people.
It is
people.
True. Second act, man. I got it's a chunk intense. Where I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, but she doesn't get one. Well, she does that whole thing,
true.
And then she's like, and now I gotta, you know.
Sing 14 more songs. She, like, she becomes Carole King when I'm like, and I'm gonna go check my phone and,
Yeah, but.
And speaking of phones, that somehow relates to wine.
Yeah.
That's me trying to segue into interesting about wine.
No, I mean, honestly, I think we're good with the wine.
Oh, okay, cool.
we are here sipping on it. Yeah, no, we're here sipping on it. Oh, well, you can find it at BTL Harlem at 127th and St. Nick, which is where I work. So,
very nice.
And that's where Melvin and I met.
That's where we met.
He comes and buys wine from me.
That's cool. I'm on 137th now. I just moved there a month ago.
Well, there you go. Come down and check out some wine. Uh-huh.
That's how this happened. I was like, our leading man also is in the neighborhood. So
yeah.
You should actually get him because he'll be much more fun. Than hearing me talk about, well, yesterday I was backstage and I just wrote 4 hours.
We should come up with, we have to come up with a code for listeners to come in. And,
oh,
what's?
It's cold fermented.
Cold fermented. What's
okay.
the code? What do they get?
They get 10% off
cold
of their purchase at BTL Harlem.
Oh, a code fermented.
Cold fermented.
Cold
get down there.
Nodes. Just say nodes.
Or nodes, yep.
Nodes.
Yep, because we do have listeners that will listen to the podcast and then come in and buy the wine, which is super fun.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
I love that.
No, we have a good time over at BTL Harlem.
I like this, like, drinking while talking about theater. Podcast
that's
situation.
So much fun.
Yes. I have to say this is the second one, but that's kind of been the theme. And I didn't, I like this one too. Both are equally great. We can cut that out. I feel like that's talking about another
Evan
podcast.
Evan is a Juilliard trained actor. He's so good at lying.
There's only one. And
there's only one podcast. And, you're
no podcast at all.
Tannins
and
Tunes.
The only one.
Well, it's funny because this started because I have a master's in musical theater and a wine certification, and I wanted to, like, put both things together. And
clever alliteration.
There you go. And there was some alliteration involved, and then Jimmy is awesome. And
I came on board and
colorful, whereas I would just be spitting facts about wine all day.
Well, I love wine, and every time I go somewhere, like in South Africa, or like I go on wine tasting.
On wine tours, yeah.
And yeah, because I like someone sitting there saying, do you taste this? Do you like
right,
that? And like narrowing
right.
in on what I like, but then I retain so little of it because I'm drunk by the end.
Right?
and so when I go somewhere, I'm like, I think I like...
I love XYZ. A South African wine, though.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I really do. They actually have really good wine.
There's one called, like, something frog, like, frog that gets run over. Like run over, ran over frog. It's not, but it's something silly.
Mom,
like that.
This is going to be in the tasting notes.
Yes.
Something
yes.
frog, run
dead
over
frog,
something.
And there's one that has, like, 8 black women dancing.
Sure.
I love them.
Right?
I don't know the name, but I look for them. They're like holding their hands up, they have baskets on their heads. I love them. I'm
I've
like,
never tasted the wine. I love it.
I see just like the bottle. You're no, like,
I'm like, well, no. Those girls get me drunk.
Yeah.
I know
it's
them.
True.
They have names by the end of the night. I just don't remember them.
They're my best friends.
No, I just have like 3 descriptions of things I like. I'm like, I like something that's fruit forward, but not sweet.
Okay, yeah.
And earthy.
Did you say fruit forward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing I learned.
Yeah.
I love that you're holding it back. Go ahead, say the joke.
No,
whatever's up
no,
there.
No, there's no joke.
Just a game.
We're being good because moms are listening.
Hi, mom.
Oh, this is such a mom musical, by the way.
It is such a mom musical.
In the best way, I say that. It's honest and loving.
Mother's Day. If you're looking for a Mother's Day present, always, always beautiful in the musical.
Yeah.
Can I say, I like,
when I was front of house, there were people coming in that are like, I love this. This was the music of my childhood.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. They're there to have a good time and to like relive these moments. So it's
it really is
beautiful.
It's beautiful. It really is. I've been so impressed. Every time I watch it, I'm like, wow, it's so, the direction of it's so effortless and it's so fast paced, but older people come in and love it because it's music from their generation and they have a connection to it. And so when she starts singing, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Everyone kind of goes, oh, like I remember when.
I love that when you can actually hear the audience go, oh.
Will you love me tomorrow?
And then people, like our generation, listen to it and they're like, oh my God, I don't know how, but I know that song. Yeah. Like, I remember that. Like, I know all of these tunes.
The Locomotion.
Yeah.
I knew it from The Cosby Show.
Yes.
It blew me away because it was our dance call song that they used. And the moment that I found out she wrote, I was like, I'm in.
That's
unbelievable to me.
That's better than my friend that was like, I didn't know Carole King wrote Locomotion for Carly Minogue.
Exactly.
I wouldn't say for her, but.
Well, the other day I did have a realization with Neil Sedaka's O Carol, and I didn't know that it was about Carole King. I had no idea.
Come see Beautiful in the Musical.
I did not know that, and I was obsessed with Neil Sedaka when I was growing up.
What? How? Who did you
Okay. I know. It's because I'm like the oldest person ever. My dad gave me, so in high school, we had like a 50s like show choir night or something. And I was like, I'm going to sing Stupid Cupid or something that was popular at the time. My dad was like, no, you're not.
Also in Beautiful.
He was like, you're going to sing something that like nobody knows. And so he gave me a CD of Neil Sedaka songs for Christmas as kind of like a joke. And because I like sang something from Greece instead, something dumb. And so
he's like, screw you, Dad. You don't know me.
Exactly. Very teenage angsty.
Yeah. I'm going to sing from Greece.
They wear leather jackets. Right. They're really rough.
Someone almost gets pregnant.
No. But Deus Ex Machina.
Exactly.
You'd be a good Zuko. Just side note.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
That'd be fun.
Right?
Real fun.
Okay, we'll tell the next casting directors.
Melvin, please you would be a great Rizzo.
I would.
So
I got the notes. I got the notes,
yes!
Jimmy.
Rizzo could be in drag. It'd be kind of amazing. It'd
be kind of brilliant. Of course, Alex Newell will get it. Uh-huh. Shoot.
We're ready, though. We're ready to send this out into the world. It's like Oprah. You just put it out there.
Put it.
Melvin just requested more wine.
You were just like, cheers to
I
that.
I wasn't toasting to being cast as Rizzo, even though we could.
You guys got to catch up. We're drinking wine like my mom. Thanks, Mom.
There we go.
Hi, Mom.
Glass of water between, Evan. Glass of water in between.
There, we got to do a chant.
I know, that's where I learned it.
Drinking game. Forever.
No more Tanits and Tunes drinking game. Ever.
Wonderful.
If you're listening, listeners.
Oh, yes.
When we say mom,
you have to take a drink.
Yeah. There you go.
I like it.
I literally, after the Tonys on Sunday, everybody left, and I turned around and was like, I can't do this ever again. how did I get, like, as soon as we stopped recording, everything hit me. Of what we had to drink.
2017 was real for a lot of people.
It was real.
It was a good year.
I went to the Ace Hotel, and they had a viewing that was hosted by a bunch of drag queens. And I have to say, it was so much fun because the commercial breaks were just them doing drinking games and like their acts. So I was the most entertained I've ever been because the show was good. It was great. And then all of a sudden, there was no lull.
I enjoyed this year's Tonys. I know a lot of people didn't and had issues, but
every year it doesn't matter what you do, people are going to have issues with the Tonys. I still don't know like what the formula is that people are wishing for.
Right.
I'm like, it's just an award show. We say it about all of them because they are long and tedious, and you know, we should just have a night where shows perform and we just announce who won.
Yeah, that's what that's why I like the Tonys themselves, because the performances actually like have stakes, like they are the shows themselves, like as opposed to like the Oscars, which are just like, now let's do a retrospective with Cirque du Soleil.
Right.
It's a great commercial. Like the Tonys, like sell your show.
They pay
a
lot for those shows. They I was a producer on the Spring Awakening revival, and like it was a whole lesson on how the Tonys work, because the Tonys don't bring in a ton of money. Like it's not like the highest rated thing in the world, but clearly like the theater community is passionate about making it happen. So it's like it's in the marketing budget to perform at the Tonys to make that happen.
Well, I do wonder, as culture changes, as musical theater gets, you know, more in the conversation of everything after La La Land and all the new, you know, movie
musicals. We're entering a golden age.
Yeah, I'm like, I think that, you know, the Tonys has the potential, if, you know, if they really work it and figure out a great formula of how to, you know, appeal to everyone. It's just tough, you know, because the voters are, you know, it's Kevin Spacey's generation,
and
we're all like, where's Neil Patrick Harris? And like, so what's the, you know, how do you appeal to everyone?
I think the theater community always gets upset at one particular thing, which is that it feels like the Tonys trying to Hollywoodize in some way.
Right.
And I wonder if there was ever a Tony Award where the people hosting are all like truly in the theater community, not adjacent, not Sarah Jessica Parker was Annie when she was a child and now we're going to have her to like, you know, but like actually, and somehow the Tony Awards is presenting these people who are so important to the theater community, who truly deserve to be like hosting, or not that, you know, not hosting, but like presenting,
like Kristen Chenoweth and Alan Cumming, I think that was
that's really,
you know,
smart.
That was that year that they were like, let's,
it's,
you know,
a fine,
let's bring
line.
Them in.
It's a fine line, because you want to celebrate, you want to pay homage, but you also want to have advertisers.
Right, make money.
Yeah.
Make money, you know.
That's true. I know when the guy presented for Come From Away, I was like, who's that guy?
Who, yeah.
I still don't know who that was.
I'm guessing he's Canadian, because it's like...
Yeah. Oh, he was a New York Ranger.
Oh, okay.
He was a hockey player.
Sports.
Oh, that's so great.
I was like, a police officer.
Yes, that too.
I had no idea. I missed
like
it.
You don't,
like,
and you don't put a sports person at the Tony Awards.
Also, he has the longest introduction.
Right?
Like,
he probably loves theater. He's
probably
seen everything.
Does.
Guys,
he probably
episode,
does.
Sports and soda. New York Rangers with root beer.
With the damn Yankees. Let's go to the sports musicals.
I do love a good sports musical.
If you picked a great wine to sort of segue, because Damn Yankees reminded me of Red Hot and Crew.
Yes.
Red, White, and Crew, excuse me. Episode 3, guys, in Tannins and Tunes. In which we were pairing these wines, and then we were like, who would this, if this wine was a musical theater character, who would it be? And we were doing
games. Oh, I love that.
And this wine is not only, we just said it recently, it's not only the musical Beautiful, it's also Carole King.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I like it.
That's
really
fun.
Now I want to pair wines with Carole. Like, I want to taste the Mama Rose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I've had a couple people come by the store where if they can't articulate what they like about wine, I'm like, okay, do you know musicals?
Oh, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Like, has it ever worked? Someone's yes, I do.
Yeah, somebody is like,
well done, Harlan.
What is, like, I want the Lion King wine. Hey.
Yeah, you do.
And
you
I was
got
like,
the
great.
Heat ladies with the bag.
Like, I'm not get out of the head. My hands are literally holding up the basket, but Evan said it.
I couldn't find the runover toad, so you got that one.
I'm gonna put that out to you, listeners. If you want to try a wine, but you don't know, tweet.
Yeah,
at
tweet.
Tannins and Tunes.
Mm-hmm. Send us an email.
Send us an email, and with I want the this character. I want the that.
Well, yeah. I also I
want the Dolly Levi.
I want a Norma Desmond. I want a red, like
Come
a Norma
on.
Desmond wine.
I actually just paired wines with Little Women for a theater in, well, not a theater, like a friend of mine who was doing a living room concert of Little Women. And so I picked four wines, based on each of the goodness. March daughters.
Did you also see the Christopher Columbus YouTube?
I'm in one of the...
No, shut up! You are famous!
I'm so famous. Well, I'm not in the Christopher Columbus. I'm in the Cassie God, I'm a Dancer.
Oh, they're so good.
That's
okay.
Amazing.
Must watch. Okay, you must...
Moms, listen right now. Get them to YouTube.
Yeah, you don't
we're
know
gonna
what
make
this
you
is.
Real hip and cool.
So there are now all of these compilation videos of one moment out of musical theater, like, songs.
But random, like not the pivotal moment in the song.
Right, not like a Elphaba, ah, none of that. Like just random, like Christopher Columbus from Little Women, which,
astonishing,
beautiful connection, was written by our original musical director, Jason Howland.
Ah,
so we actually, when that came out, we said it to him, was like, look what you did. Because he always apologizes to musical theater women singers for putting that note on an E vowel. Like,
right?
He's like,
yep.
I'm so sorry. But then you hear Sutton do it, you're like, it's okay.
Well, after watching this, so it's just a compilation of all these girls saying Christopher Columbus, and they're all making incredible choices.
Incredible.
But I then went down a spiral because I was like, well, now I want to watch her do it, and she's so effortless.
So good.
Right?
It's incredible.
It's
perfect. Which then led to 2.5 hours of me sitting in my bed watching YouTube videos that led to then Abby Mueller and Jesse Mueller.
Been there.
Then I arrived to the theater the next day being like, we've done this show for months, but I'm looking at you like, wow. You're so good.
It's so real.
I spent the whole night watching videos of you. I'm a little starstruck, and we've been working together for months.
There's one where she did like a morning show somewhere in the Midwest, and she sings Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, and it is one of the most glorious things you'll ever hear, and it's got to be like 5 in the morning.
Right.
And you're like, how is it possible?
How did you just like get up and...
Did you go to bed? Like what? I need an instruction manual on how to be able to do that early in the morning, and yeah, it's... Yeah, I've been down the Mueller Girls like YouTube hole. It is, there's some amazing things out there.
But just as amazing as you all are on the show.
Yes.
Well.
I mean, I've also gone down the Eventide Instagram hole. You know,
right. I love the Eventide Instagram.
Oh yeah, you should Eventide here at Eventide here. It's a good time.
NFSW.
And what's NFSW?
No, it's safe for work.
Oh, not safe. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's safe for work. You know.
Yeah, I'm trying. I like Instagram. It was just like a fun thing. And yeah. I'm, like trying. I make sure nothing's too.
We all feel very, you know, very feel part of your world, Evan. I'm like,
so
what is he doing now?
Right. We can find Evan on Instagram. Where else can our listeners find you? Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, but I'm not. Instagram is my social media of choice.
What's your
handle? All of it's at Evan Todd here. So you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook? Question mark. Just let's stick to Instagram.
Yeah, don't do Facebook. Yeah. He won't add you.
And what about?
I'm just bad at it, you guys.
He's very bad. I've known him now for months and nothing.
I just get overwhelmed. I get the friend request thing piled up for so many years, and now I'm like, I'm just going to ignore it. Like I do most things I have to do in my life.
No, well, because Instagram makes it easier. They do the work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I'm following you. Yeah, I don't have time. And then, because now you don't know anyone and you have to go through mutual friends. It's just crazy. Instagram is definitely better. But, you know, there's just exclusive things and, you know, things that we believe in and companies or people or organizations we're trying to help. So I'm at Melvin Tunstall 3.
Perfect.
There's not as many shirtless pictures. But, you know.
And that's on Instagram?
But I'll give you a song clip every once in a while.
Were there two other Melvin Tunstalls?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a... Good job, Melvin Tunstalls of the world.
You know, they did it. Granddad raised, you know, 13 kids in the South.
Well, your granddad?
My granddad.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad's a twin.
My dad's one of the youngest of 8 boys.
That's awesome. Like your family's, I mean, you
what
know,
big family?
8 boys?
8 boys from a dairy farm in upstate New York.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Like, you know, hats off to mom.
Wow.
Yeah. Arlene.
No, for
great
real.
Grandma Arlene.
Also, drink listeners.
We
said mom.
That's doubled. You have to take 2 because it's grandma.
Great grandma.
Oh, well,
finish.
Well, great grandma was
right. Just
else.
Finish the bottle.
What was your father's twin's name? What's your father's twin's name?
My father's twin's name is Marva.
Marva.
Marva. And Marva just made it into a new script that I'm writing. Because I always try to, you know, name a couple of the characters after people that are special to me. So, yeah, she made it into a show. Marva.
Melvin doesn't just perform, he also
writes.
He does.
It's very exciting, you guys, so be on the lookout.
For a future Tanazin Tunes episode.
I can't wait to see what you guys compare with Higgins and Harlem.
It's
a contemporary My Fair Lady, so, you know.
I love it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, Jimmy.
We're planning
for
2020.
Contemporary My Fair Lady. Who's the Liza?
Oh, that is the question. I will say, if for you theater lovers out there, I the role is inspired by Ariana DeBose, and she was the original.
She was
Bullet.
On Tannins and Tunes. Just
oh, was
a couple
she? Of course.
Ago.
Oh, that's right.
Episode
I knew
four.
That. I knew that. Yeah, yeah. I wrote it. I met her when she was a high school student. I went back to co-direct a production of Aida, and we all of a sudden this girl who she was a dancer, like you know, she was on So You Think You Can Dance. She had no idea she could sing. Amazing actress. And so we're working with her, loved her, and then all of a sudden, you know, she becomes Ariana DeBose as, you know, on TV and Bring It On, and then she's, you know, the Bullet in Hamilton, and just, you know, she's amazing, and now in Bronx Tale. And so, I wanted, it's inspired by her. I wanted to write something for her. So, yeah, she's called Alizé in our show.
Oh, fun.
You know, which is that very cheap wine, which is a running joke in the show. See, bringing it back around to the wine. See what I did there?
You made that very easy for what wine she would be.
You cheat.
Hey, look. If you live your
cheap
like high school dreams. Cheap and sweet, Alizé. Come on for it.
So, Jimmy, where can our listeners find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson, and they can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson.
Cool. And you can find me at JMHumphrey1 on the Twitter and the Instagram. And don't forget to follow us at Tannins and Tunes on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Again, please reach out to us.
Yes.
We will happily pair a wine to a musical theater character and musical that you...
That's what we love doing, you guys.
I really do love that, you guys. That's so
also,
cool.
Also,
reach out to us, please.
Really
go on
cool.
the website, get your tasting notes so that you can relive the episode and get the actual wine that we paired. So today it was the Herman J. Weimer Dry Riesling 2016. And you can get all the breakdown on that and watch videos of Beautiful and have the links to Evan and Melvin's social media so that you don't have to write it down, because I know most of you don't have a pen and paper when you're listening to this in the car. So
I found myself listening to a podcast and I say something to look up and I'm like, I'll never remember.
Right?
And I will never go back.
Right? So now we just send it to you. Thank
Question.
You, guys.
I don't
want
to put you on the spot.
No.
So like
Norma Desmond Red. I would do something that, well... See, I'm not necessarily sure that I would do a red.
Oh, really?
Ooh, this just got interesting.
Ooh.
I would do like a really
There's a
high level champagne.
Oh,
personally.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I do like champagne.
But something like super dry and bread doughy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Like something definitely French, something from like a really old producer.
Yes.
With like small bubbles. Like Moet, but maybe like a Moet, like an old one.
Yes, classic.
Yeah.
And
I can't afford Norma
Desmond. Right?
Who
I can't either.
Can. No one can.
Well, then you should just go move in with her and write her script.
Exactly.
It's another role for Evan Todd. You could, I should, you know, who's your agent? I need to give them a call. Like, I have a list of things I'd like to see Evan perform.
Man.
I love it.
Melvin, actor.
Okay, I'm going to go on the record. Evan always says this. Whenever he talks about his singing, he always says, I need lessons. No.
You're on Broadway.
Voice. I hear you every night.
I am fortunate enough to be an actor who got cast in a part that is an actor part that, like, sings.
But he does have to sing. And here's the thing, and this is what I will say. You know, I grew up in black church, and so I've been hearing people sing down my entire life. I would rather someone have truth behind their notes than anything.
Right.
And for me, that's what I see. I'm like, you watch and you go, oh, well, this is an advertisement for Juilliard. This is why you go to Juilliard.
Well, that's really sweet,
you know,
Melvin.
But seriously, and it's a great voice. I sing with you all the time, and you better sing, Evans,
ooh,
in the dressing room.
The
and a lot of those, and a lot of those,
could possibly get.
Seriously, a lot of those go to the Mueller. You know, I will actually say them on stage. I did last night. Like I said. Physically on stage during Natural Woman, you better sing. I'm like, okay, it's like 1970 that we weren't saying that then, but I don't care.
Sing,
because
sing girl.
That's what you should say when you hear someone do that.
Right.
So check out Abby Mueller because she's killing it.
Check out the whole cast.
The whole cast.
Yes, the entire cast.
Check out everybody.
And
come
actually,
Melvin's on. It's pretty good.
We like to end our podcast by like singing a little bit of the show. And so I was thinking that we could do just like a teensy little bit of I Feel the Earth. Because that's just a fun one.
Well, okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Well, I need a key.
I feel the earth.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. going down.
I feel my heart start to tremble whenever